I'm not going to give you references to a lot of verses, but I'm going to give you a lot of verses here in a little bit. And I'm going to encourage you to get your own verses. Amen. And it's wonderful to know somebody that knows God. To know somebody that knows God and have somebody in your life that knows God is a wonderful thing. But I got good news for you. You can know God also. You can have a walk with God. Listen, God is no respecter of persons. And God wants to work in your life. And God wants to meet with you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to fellowship with you. And God wants to, this book right here, the good thing about it is He doesn't just open it up to preachers and teachers and deacons. God opens this book up to saints of God, every Christian. You can have a walk with God, and God will speak to you and teach you from His Word if you'll let Him. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and go ahead and stand just for a minute, as we're only going to read one verse. A lot of times I'll not have you stand because I read about 45 chapters. But stand and stretch, and let's read together put our attention here on this verse. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." That one verse, the Lord Jesus Christ is represented there in the first person, the pronoun I. He says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." That word sup is like the word supper time. In old days, you heard the songs, "Come home, it's supper time." In the old days, folks, after supper time, that was the end. They didn't go to Walmart afterwards. They went to come home from supper. And they sat down and they ate the supper time meal. And the furthest they would go from that dinner table was to bed, the bathroom, or the front porch. And they were all home. Nobody went anywhere after that. And what's the Lord saying? He said, "I stand at the door and knock." He said, "You let me in." He said, "I'll come in to sup with you." He said, "I'll stay till morning." And now what is that morning? That morning is when the eastern sky opens up and we wake up in heaven. He comes to take us home. So what he's saying is, he said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." I promise you, he wants to save you, but he wants to dwell with you. He wants to be with you. Amen. Not in your back pocket, but in the center forefront of your life, in the forefront of your mind and your thoughts. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, bless today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. I love you've seen this verse illustrated. You've seen the picture of Jesus standing outside the door and the vines and the stuff growing around the door, and he's knocking at the door. You've heard it preached before, and I do believe that whenever God begins to deal with a person's heart and begins to convict your heart and deal with you and show you that you're lost, and someone's telling you the gospel, somebody's trying to witness to you, and you hear it, and you may have heard it before, but now God's dealing with your heart, and I mean He's convicting your heart, and He's dealing with you about it, and you say, "You know, I need to do that. I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior." You know, what a wonderful time that is whenever you say yes to Him and you open that door and you say, "Jesus, I surrender. I'm here. I am. Save me." And He comes in, and you know the moment that you accept Him, you know you're saved. You know it's all settled. I wish as Christians, I wish we would look back and remember that time more often. I wish we'd look back and remember it and talk about it and tell people about it and let folks know and say, "Hey, I remember." You may not remember the date, the time, whatever else, but you got to remember there's some details about it, something about it that you remember. You say, "I don't remember a time like that." Well, man, listen, just as you were born once, you were born the second time. Amen? And ought to be some memory of when you were born again into the family of God. And I'm glad for that time in my life that I got saved. I think about that verse, though, and he said, "I stand at the door and knock." He said, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him." And I do believe that God appoints a time in a person's life and he knocks. And brother, listen, the folks in hell, and I believe that those folks in hell are those that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible to reject him. I find in the Bible that there are those who did. And until those verses are taken out, the Bible talks about those who are rejectors. They're earth dwellers. They determine that they don't have nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. They reject his truth and reject his word. He said, I stand at the door and knock. He said, every person here has heard the knock on the door. I hate to confess this, but when I'm home, I guess 9 times out of 10, I hate to hear somebody knock on the door. Isn't that awful? And I believe in door-to-door soul winning. Amen. I believe in going out and knocking on doors and witnessing to people and hand them a tract and say, hey, I'm from the church here and I wanted to come by and I wanted to give you one of these and invite you to come to our church. And I do that always. I do that knowing. I said, boy, I hope that guy in there don't feel like I do about somebody knocking on his door. You say, well, it's okay at a certain time. What? I don't know if I ever time when I really want somebody to knock on the door. I mean, the kids of the neighborhood will do it. They'll knock on the door, and the dog barks, the baby cries, and I think, man, I'm going to go out there and strangle those kids. Get away from my door. Hey, and I hate to say this, and you might not feel this way, but when you need to call me, forget that I said this. Forget that I said this. But when the phone rings, I get butterflies. I think, oh, no, what's wrong? And that's just, I mean, what's happened? Somebody's dead. Somebody's in a car wreck. Something's wrong. And the phones, I mean, those are my two fears in life, the door knocking and the phone ringing. And apart from that, don't matter what else you throw at me. But I hear those things, and it helps a little bit. And again, forget to, don't hear this part. On phones now, they have caller ID, so you know who it is on the other end. Now, you know that helps a little bit. Amen. And then, thank God for blinds, you know, and when there's somebody knocking at the door, you can peek out. And I always, when I'm soul winning, I always look to see the door, the blind peek upstairs. Before I go up, I say, which one are they going to peek out to see who's at the door? But in this verse, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. Boy, I tell you what, listen, hey, there never is a time that what Jesus stands at the door and knock, that it's not a good time to open the door and let him in. Amen. When it comes to the salvation of your soul and he's knocking and the Holy Ghost of God is dealing with your heart and you realize that Jesus Christ is not a part of your life. Oh, you have a knowledge of him. It's a head knowledge. You know he's real. You know he exists, but you've never personally invited him into your heart. And all of a sudden, you're confronted with the fact that he's knocking and you need to get saved and heaven can be your home. My son's smiling at me, so hey, buddy, good to see you down there. But it's better than crying, but I got to acknowledge my boy when he smiles at me. Y'all can forget about y'all for a minute. My boy's smiling at me. But hey, when he knocks, you got to answer. I mean, listen, I was 7 years old when God began to knock on my heart's door that night on the way home from church. It was no coincidence. It was not something, well, I think God's dealing with my heart. I knew it with all of my heart. I knew that God was dealing with me. And you'll know when God's dealing with you. And the greatest, wisest thing you'll ever do is say yes, to run to that door and open it up and say, come on in, Jesus. I accept you as my Savior. I accept what you did on the cross of Calvary. I accept the blood that you shed on that cross. I accept that blood as a sacrifice for my sins. And I believe that you died and was buried and rose again. And I trust you to take me to heaven when I die. Come on in, Jesus. That's the greatest thing you'll ever do. It's great when it comes to the matter of salvation, but also in the matter of your daily life, it's important. And here's why. Because Jesus is not the only one that knocks at your heart's door. He's not the only one that knocks. You see, it's important for you to understand this, that your heart in the Bible is the sentry of your soul. The heart represents the seat of your thoughts, your emotions, what drives you. Not a saved person in this room what you can't look back and rejoice and thank God that you opened that door and let Jesus come into your life. You're thankful for that. You rejoice in that. But also you understand that he's not the only one that ever knocks at the door. You see, that door that I'm talking about, represented by your thoughts and your mind and your emotion and your life, depression knocks at that door. Say, preacher, oh, that's just all in your head. Well, wherever it is, it's real. There was a time that I'd have thought there was no such thing as depression, but I found out that people do get depressed. I mean, people get so depressed that the circumstances of life become so heavy and it feels like there's no hope, that they contemplate things and otherwise they never would even think about. But yet, during those moments of depression, when depression knocks at the door, and for some reason or another, they go and they out of curiosity, open the door and they invite depression in. Begin to entertain depression. And they think, and after a little while, sitting there in the living room with you on one side and depression on the other side, and your human reasoning trying to deal with your problems and your circumstances, and the load is bearing down on you and depression is weighing on you, you think there's no way out of here. And then the old devil offers you a solution. It's not a solution at all, and a whole lot of folks have unfortunately taken that solution. You see what I'm talking, I'm not making up anything this morning. It's real. Life is real. And the problems of life are real. And I'm going to tell you what, it'd be a good idea to answer that door and let Jesus Christ in, because depression, just as soon as you reject Him and turn Him away, depression's going to come knocking. Hey, even after you're saved, guess what? You know, I know you won't believe this. And you can watch them fellas on television and them, some of those preachers are on there. They might not all be bad, but them ones that tell you now that you're saved, you'll never worry again. You'll never have any bills to pay. You'll never have any problems. That's a bunch of lies. You can just mark it down. They're lying to you. Amen. And listen, my phone's ringing right now. I'll see who it is. I don't know that now. Hey, listen. That's real. And brother, listen. Hey, and the old devil knows what he's talking about. I mean, that stuff's real. Understand this, that loneliness will knock at that door. So I pray, there's no such thing as loneliness. I've seen folks that in their life they've got up and loneliness was knocking at the door and they saw who it was and they said, you know, I don't want to invite him in. After a while, loneliness just keeps on knocking, and after a while they invite loneliness in. Loneliness can really drive you. It can really get low. You come into your life and think nobody cares, nobody's interested, I'm all alone. You ought to go visit every once in a while. You ought to go visit a nursing home and go talk to those folks there, because unfortunately many of them, for good reasons, have heard that knock, and loneliness has knocked on their door, and loneliness has come in, and loneliness is with them and sits with them. Boy, it's a good thing when somebody else knocks on the door, amen? That's why when you go see them, that big smile comes on their face and that they light up, and they may not even know who you are, but you're somebody besides loneliness. I'm going to tell you what, you got to watch that. You got to watch, listen, it's a good idea to invite Jesus in, because immorality is going to knock on your door.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, listen, hey, there's a whole lot of things that folks do in their life that what they would not do if they stopped to realize, hey, I can't do that. Jesus is with me. Do what? Go where? Do what with you? I can't do that. I belong to Jesus. I'm saved. Jesus Christ is with me. You let Jesus be your companion and your running mate. I'm going to tell you what, there's lots of places you will not go. Amen. And immorality knocks and says, oh, there's nothing wrong. I'll just go ahead and let it in. I'll go ahead and let that in. Listen, hey, remorse knocks on the door. I'm going to tell you what. Well, you say, preacher, what's remorse? I don't know exactly how to explain it to you, but it's kind of like when you question, you think, well, what if I had done this? And what if I had done that? And what if I would have done this? You see, my dad died while I was in Indiana. I was away. My brother called me. I knew he had a heart attack, and I was got in the car, and on the way back, I knew things were bad, and he died. I tell you, I love my dad. He was my best friend. On the way back, I was down the road, and the old devil said, man, you should have been there. You wasn't, but you should have been there. And I thank God for this. But I heard that knock, and I said, I ain't even going to open that door. Hey, God knew where I was, and God knew it was time for Him to go. And I'm not going to invite remorse into my stinking living room and have remorse sit down and start trying to bother me. Brother, listen, there's no such thing. The old saying is, there's no use crying over spilt milk. You can't change what happened. And there's no reason in the world of allowing that to come in and just wear you out and wear you down. Friend, listen, hey, when you hear that knock, you just go ahead and say, I'm not interested today. But I'm going to tell you what, that remorse will come. And it'll try to ruin your life. Anger. Anger will knock on your heart's door and say, hey, can I come in? Boy, I'll make you a good friend. I'll be the only friend you'll ever need. And right, you let anger in, and that'll be the only friend you have. Because you'll find out, I preached a few weeks back about a man named Saul. Hey, Saul entertained anger. He opened the door to anger. And after a while, he had driven off David. He'd driven off his own son. And Saul, after a while, drove off his whole kingdom because his anger and his wrath had invited into his heart. And that anger and that wrath had taken a prominent place. And that anger and that wrath had come in and destroyed his life. I'm going to tell you, I hate to tell you this, but you'll go to church. And you'll go to church with good intentions. And while you're at church, gossip will knock on the door and say, "Can I come in?" Someone will grab you and say, "Hey, did you hear what so-and-so did?" And if it ain't something like got saved or got a Bible and been reading it, or if they come up to you and say, "I'm just going to tell you this so you'll know how to pray," watch out. Because it ain't P-R-A-Y they're talking about, it's P-R-E-Y. They're praying on somebody, amen? Yeah. Wasn't long ago, I remember hearing the story about a lady in the church, and it was a small church. Nothing wrong with small churches as long as the people stay right with God. But in this little old church, there was a young girl got pregnant, and she wasn't married. And boy, the people, they felt bad. And there was one lady, though, that wanted to make a big deal out of it. I mean, she carried on and said, "We ought to do this, and she ought to be brought before the church, and boy, she ought to be shamed," all this stuff. She just kept on and kept on until they found out that her grandson was the daddy of the baby, and all of a sudden she changed her tone. You see, gossip will knock on the door and say, "I heard something. I want to tell you." Most of every time I've ever heard that, it wasn't worth hearing. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, the worst thing about gossip is not what you hear, it's when it knocks on your door and says, "I need somebody to help me spread my message." And gossip says, "Would you mind me borrowing your tongue so that you can help spread what I have to offer?" I tell you, I worked for a little while on a horse farm in Northwest Indiana, and all during the year, I would go in there on a bobcat, and I'd pull down between those owls, and I'd go in there, and the horses had always left behind something. I was a pilot. They had left behind something. They had piled, and I would pile it outside. And I was a pilot also. I'm not as long as you were, and I didn't see as much as you saw. I'd go in there and get that stuff and take it outside. Well, at the end of the year, at a certain time of the year, they had a thing that hooked up to the back of the little tractor. It was a long metal thing, and you could put that stuff down inside of it. It had a thing called a manure spreader. That's what gossips are, manure spreaders. Folks here, you got friends that have ruined their life because they're gossips. They invite a gossip in. Not a person in this room won't have to deal with that knock. It'll be gossip saying, "Hey, I got something for you. I got something to tell you." You know who gossip hurts the most? The person that tells it. I'm going to tell you what, gossip will knock. And listen, bitterness, and I say it on a serious note, I've seen folks, their life ruined because bitterness knocked. So who is it? You know who I am. Who are you? Well, I'm bitterness, but I'm here to help you because so-and-so done you wrong and it shouldn't have happened. And I want to tell you, if you'll let me come in, I want to help you. And bitterness comes in, and after a while, bitterness has sat down and crept into your house, and bitterness, all of a sudden, you're mad at God. I'm going to tell you what, you let bitterness, and bitterness will come to every person in this room and knock on your door and say, "Hey, could I come in, please, and visit with you?" And I tell you what, it's a sad day when you let bitterness in. I'm going to tell you, bitterness will destroy your life. You can't let bitterness. Hey, disappointment. I could go on. Loneliness. Hurt feelings. Boy, hurt feelings knocks like this. Just an easy little lock. No big deal. And then, once hurt feelings gets in, hurt feelings talks real polite and say, "Well, you know, it wasn't right how they done you. You deserve better than that." You know, people lose jobs over hurt feelings. People quit church over hurt feelings. Relationships are destroyed over hurt feelings. I'm going to tell you, say, "Preacher, why is it so important to let Jesus in when I hear Him knocking?" because he's not the only one that's going to knock. Now, this may not, there may be some here this morning that you've reached such a point in your life where, man, you say, preacher, I've got to have the meat of the word, and you're feeding me milk. Well, okay, well, maybe there's somebody here who needs a little milk. Amen. But I really don't think it's all together milk. I think there's a little bit of meat in what I'm talking about here. And what I'm trying to tell you is that you're going to have in your life, whenever that knock comes, you're going to have somebody besides you who's going to have to answer the door, because some of those things don't leave. They just come, and loneliness just keeps on knocking and just keeps on knocking. And you say, well, I'll answer the door and tell it to go away. But you answer the door, it's like them JWs. They stick a foot in the door and say, I'm coming in whether you like it or not. You're going to have something answer the door besides your human reasoning. Because human reasoning answers the door, and you start trying to reason your loneliness and reason your depression, and you go see the psychiatrist, and he says, well, bring them with you. Let's get them all out of the closet. And I'm not a professional or anything. I'm a professional dummy. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a whole lot of stuff. Maybe we make a mistake. We bring everything out when we ought to bring everything to the foot of Jesus Christ. The Bible says it, and you are in a church, so I'm going to go ahead and be a Christian, a preacher here. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. If I'm going to tell everybody everything, I'm going to tell it to Jesus, because He's the only one that can help make a difference. If I trust Him to take all my sins and bury them in the deepest sea and remove them as far as the east is from the west and wipe them out so that when I get to heaven and my record is seen, there'll not be one mark on my record, because I'm trusting Jesus Christ to erase my record for me. I'm trusting Him. How then can I trust Him to make my record clear in heaven, and I can't trust Him to help me deal with the issues that haunt me in this life? My past is knocking. The Bible says, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing toward the mark of the high prize in Christ Jesus. See, but that's my past. And people were reminding me of what I've done. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In time past, you were, but now you're children of God. Amen. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Gone, gone, gone. All my sins are gone. Amen. Brother, you gotta answer the door. Now, here's why the Bible is so important. You see, you'll be amazed what if you'll read this book. You might read it and you might not understand it. There's not a person here that's saved what you haven't read the Bible before and didn't understand a thing you read. But I'm going to tell you what, it's God's Word. And as you read it, the Bible says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against. You say, preacher, I wish I could memorize Scripture. It's wonderful. Memorize all you want to. But I'm going to tell you what, when you read the Word of God, God hides His Word in your heart. And when problems come and issues come, guess what? The Holy Spirit of God will bring to light those verses that you read in the Word of God. God will bring to mind sermons that you heard in your church when you sat in church one Sunday and you didn't feel like going, but you went anyway, and you sat in the church and you didn't know if you was getting anything out of it, and you was trying to fight staying awake, and everybody around you was falling asleep and you was trying to stay awake, and the preacher said something, one thing in that sermon God could use in the future. So that when that knock comes, it's not you answering the door, but it's that truth from the Word of God answering the door. You see, you answer the door, and once you've answered the door, it's pretty well too late, because you answer it in your own human power, and you're invited. Listen, I want to give you some verses. I'm not going to give you the references. But wouldn't it be a good idea when fear's knocking on your heart's door and anxiety, wouldn't it be a good idea to answer the door with let not your heart be troubled? You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. So I don't care who's knocking at your door, you answer that, and that pretty well take care of them. Amen. I mean, listen, wouldn't it be good if whenever bitterness or Whenever doubt answers the door, if you could answer the door within everything, give thanks For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So, preacher, you mean I'm supposed to give thanks for everything? Well, I don't know. I reckon that's what it says. So, well, there's some things I can't be thankful for. Well, you just be thankful for God that you got to be there, be a part of Him. Amen. And let God figure it out. Wouldn't it be a good idea? Hey, listen. I'm not joking about this. Life is real. But there's more folks. You look around. This week, a high-ranking official in our country had to resign his post. 32 years of marriage. And I won't call the name, but you all heard the news. Married the commandant's daughter 32 years ago. And resigned his office. Because fornication knocked at the door. And he answered. Wouldn't it be good when fornication, when those stuff knocks at the door, the Bible, there's a verse there that says abstain from fornication. What a difference it'd make in our country if that would answer the door. Amen. So there you go. You're living in the past. No, I'm probably guilty of living in the Bible. And it's helped me so far. Amen. That and the fact that comes of that, I don't want to die. Amen. I don't know. I was going to look it up. But fear knocks on your heart's door. There's not a man here, the biggest man here, what fear ain't knocked on your heart's door. Not a lady here, what fear hadn't knocked. It would amaze you this morning if I had got you the number, but you can check it out. You would be amazed at how many times the two words, fear not, are recorded in the pages of God's Word. So, preacher, how does that work? You fear God. You trust God. And it don't matter who's knocking out. What trouble it is, what problem it is, fear not. I am with thee. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Whenever doubt knocks, someone says, oh, you're really not saved. That's salvation. There's nothing to that stuff. I want you to answer that door with, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's what God said. You say, but preacher, I don't know how I'm going to do it. And uncertainty is knocking and doubt is knocking and problems are knocking. I want you to answer with calling to me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. And you know, the God that created the heaven and the earth, and the God that lets the sun rise in the east every morning and sets the sun in the west in the evening time, and that sends the rain and the snow and the weather, and that provides all of that, the God that does all of that is the same God that says to me and you, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. You say, preacher, I just don't think this situation's ever going to get any better. And despair knocks at the door. Won't you answer the door with, hey, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. You say, preacher, there's no hope. I just give up. Won't you answer the door with, you have not because you ask not. You see, this Bible, what I'm preaching to you is a simple message. The Bible is full of promises. And the reason those promises are so important is because of who's going to be knocking. Every day some emotion knocks on your heart and says, I want to come in. And emotions are dictating the lives of our nation today. People aren't driven by principles. They're driven by emotion. Do I feel like doing this? Do I feel like going to work? Do I feel like this? Do I feel like... Well, listen, you got to be dictated by principle, not by emotion. But emotions knock at the door, and they dictate the lives of our country. Say, preacher, I'm just down in the dumps. Depression knocked on the door, sadness and despair. Well, how about you answer the door with rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say, rejoice. Say, preacher, how can you do that? Well, you just got to get in the Word of God. That's how. You see, the entrance of thy Word, the entrance of the Word of God gives light in the midst of darkness. You know why folks come to church? Because they have struggles a lot of times. Folks come, not everybody, some folks come. But listen, a lot of times folks will come to church and they'll get help. You know what? You know what kind of help they'll get? They'll get Bible, Scripture help. But I got good news for you. You can open that book up every day and say, God, give me something out of there. God, I hear you knocking. And I want you to come in every day. You don't get saved every day, but every day, say, before every other emotion comes up, before every other feeling comes up, before doubt comes knocking. I don't know about you, but by the time I get out of the shower, I've already dealt with 400 different issues. I mean, my mind's in there. Man, I've conquered the world and been killed and murdered and everything else. By the time I get out of the shower, lost my job, lost all my money, and found out a way to get it back. I mean, listen, I wake up with my mind going. God knows I got to open the door quick in my day and say, Dear Lord, if you don't get in here, it's going to be a bad day. There's my wife. You want to ask her about the days when I forget to get him in there. I'm not worth shooting. I'm going to tell you what, why, because if I don't answer the door when he knocks, and he knocks early, you got to let him in. Before CNN or MSNBC or Fox News or the Daily Mail or the Gazette or whatever else, before they knock, You need to let Jesus. I know people laugh at me for saying that, but you ought to try it before you laugh. You get the Word of God. You begin your day with Jesus sitting in the seat of your emotions. Don't mean it won't. You won't get other knocks, but you'll say, "Yeah, Jesus, you hear who's knocking? Doubt is knocking and at my door and trying to get in and." You say, oh, you reckon maybe I better let him in. Maybe worry is knocking. You know, Jesus, it is healthy to worry, you know, because the things you worry about hardly ever happen. And maybe I ought to let worry in. Jesus says, nah, don't worry about it. I like the story about the old man that had an old telephone. He'd been around a long time before there ever was telephones, but he had a telephone and these kids used to come by and talk to him. He was a witty old guy and they'd enjoyed his company and they'd go by and visit him, and they bothered him, but they was all afraid to ask him. Finally, one of them got the nerve to ask him, because why don't you answer your phone? They'd go visit him. The phone would ring and ring and ring and ring and ring. He didn't have any caller ID or anything. He just picked up phone. And finally, they said, hey, don't you hear that phone ringing? Can't you hear that? He said, yeah, I hear it. They said, well, don't you answer it? He said, that's my phone. He said, I bought that for my convenience, not theirs. He said, that's my phone. He said, I use that for what I want. He said, I don't care who's calling me. He said, I call on that phone. You see, we're beholden to answer the door and answer the phone, not one of people, but every time an emotion comes. You drive down the road, somebody cuts you off. Anger says, yeah, kill him. You don't have to let anger in all the time. Right. No, I do, but you don't. Amen. I guess I stepped on somebody's toe there. But listen. Hey, husbands and wives, everything's going good, and all of a sudden there's a little disagreement, and guess who's knocking? There's a third party knocking. It's your temper. The Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Amen. I reckon maybe I hit a few toes right there here lately. Maybe I ought to keep preaching. Amen. But listen. Jesus said, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. I'll tell you what, you answer that door and you let him in. There's a whole lot of folks that are out of church, bitter, angry, upset. They was going to church, everything's going good. But one little emotion come along and boom, they're out. One temptation, the Bible says, forsake the foolish and live. One of the hardest things in the world when you're saved is to separate from worldly influences. Every Christian has to do that. The Bible says, forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. The Bible says, He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know why that verse is significant to me, Brother Mullins? Because I underlined it when I was a teenage boy. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's pretty plain, isn't it? That's the Word of God. And there's a whole lot of verses in here. There's a whole lot of truth in here. If you'll read it, you won't have to answer the door every time. Some emotion, some feeling, some temptation knocks. You can just say, hey, you get it. And let the Word of God answer the door. And you won't ever have to deal with a lot of that stuff. I promise you, every once in a while, they're going to catch you on the corner. And they won't knock, and they'll just come on in. But I'm going to tell you what, the Word of God can get rid of it. Whatever that is, whatever you're dealing with, the Word of God can help you. It's quick and powerful. Listen, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Unless you think I'm just preaching some shallow message, that's exactly what that verse teaches, is the Word of God, when it comes in, it searches out everything that doesn't belong in your life. And then it takes up residence so that when foreign things come into your life, the Word of God is there to meet them and say, hey, I'm sorry, you don't belong here. And excuse them and see them to the door and make your Christian life a whole lot easier if you let the Word of God take up residence in your heart and life. That's what Jesus wants. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. He's the bread of life. Jesus Christ is the Word. Amen. That's why we don't have a whole bunch of different versions of the Bible, a whole bunch. We don't make light of the Word of God. Why? Because He is the Word. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray You'd help us this morning. There could be someone here this morning lost.